We share the scripture now from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 24, which Ed will kindly put on the screen for us. So, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of that town that sticks to our feet will wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this: the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon and the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Well, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All these things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turns to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wished to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So now on the front of your leaflet today is a kind of a picture image of what Jesus says in the first part. You know, you go to somewhere, you connect with people, you're happy to receive their hospitality, you answer their felt needs, you share the kingdom with them. So it goes on. And I want to begin by harking back to a couple of weeks ago when I suggested that our salvation is unconditional and yet our kingdom living is conditional. We know and rejoice, and I hope we all understand, that being saved is unconditional. And Jesus makes a plain statement of that in verse 22. No one knows who the sin is, who the Son is, except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son has chosen to reveal him. John in his gospel tells us that eternal life, the promise we have to all who believe in Jesus, that eternal life is to know God the Father and the Son whom he sent. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Our salvation is entirely unconditional for knowledge of the Father, of our eternal life, is not something that we can grasp by ourselves. But Jesus says, your names are written in heaven. It's entirely and only a gift from Jesus. But of course, like all gifts, you have to respond to it. Jesus makes that plain when he says, look, there's 72, he says to the 72, some people will reject the message. And that means they're rejecting Jesus and the one who sent him, God the Father. See, when we hear the good news and we respond to it with acceptance, our lives are totally changed. See, Jesus speaks of seeing Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's talking about the victory of Christ, victory of himself over evil. And we rejoice in this because our names are written in heaven. We have, as Paul says in Colossians, been rescued from the dominion of darkness, that's the rule of Satan, from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son whom the Father loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, we are passed over from the rulership of the evil one through Christ into the rulership of God. We have moved from the dominion where all things are dark, full of deceit, full of lies, full of sickness, full of evil, full of death, into the kingdom where everything is full of God, of love and life and joy and all celebration. To be saved is to become a member of the kingdom of God. They're not separate things. And of course, once you're in the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of God, the question is, how are you living it? And living in the kingdom is a life that carries conditions. Or if you prefer, if you don't like that word, then think of it like this. It's a life of new character. It's a life of new attitude. It's a life of new actions. We are in various places in the New Testament told to grow in holiness, become holy. We are told to grow in living a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. So we're called to live a life of worthiness, worthy to the Lord. And we are to build our life solidly on the foundation of Jesus. So that come the storm, come the tempest, come the rejection, it will not fall over because it's built solidly on Jesus. We are chosen, as Peter says in his first letter, we are chosen for obedience to Jesus Christ. It's in the opening verses of the first letter of Peter. We are chosen for obedience to Jesus Christ. Life in the kingdom carries obligations. Now, we cannot by good works earn our salvation, but by being saved, we are called to good works. We are, as Paul says, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, even he chose you before he created the world. He chose you to be saved before he created the world. And even then, he prepared good works for you to do as one of his chosen saved people. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? You know, and I think last week, Lee spoke about being Jesus' light of the world, and perhaps he spoke in there about us. Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. And he says, let your light shine before people so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Being disciples is about how we live the life of the kingdom. It's all about becoming more and more like the King, like Jesus. So we do that by being with Jesus. The Holy Spirit, God with us, the Spirit of Jesus, God with us. We open up our heart to him and discover what does it mean to be like Jesus. That's the first part. I remember Jesus came to us to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. We are ambassadors of his mission, of his kingship. So we are called to go out to others so that they might hear the good news and respond and repent and be saved. As the 72 were sent, Jesus sends us, go and make disciples. Well, this isn't easy, is it? And we can easily be distracted from it by things happening around us. We try to keep our eyes on Jesus, but something happens, a noise, a child, a car, a shop window, an aeroplane overhead, a friend across the street. We get distracted. We go and greet them. And Jesus says, don't be distracted. Don't greet people. Don't spend time. Here's a task. And it's risky because we are lambs among wolves. And what happens to, if you had a pack of wolves and a stray lamb came along, what would happen to the lamb? That's our position. We are lambs among wolves. And it's risky because we are to learn dependence on Jesus, which is difficult. All our life, and more with each passing year, the world keeps saying to us, depend on yourself. Self-help works. My way is what it's all about. So it's a challenge to us to depend on Jesus. And it's risky because we're actually to do this together, not by ourselves, but two by two, in groups, in fellowship. And that means learning to trust each other. It means learning to accept the rough edges in each other. It means learning to love one another. It means overcome disagreements with peace and love. And it's risky because we will face rejection. You know, nobody here, and I'm at the top of that list, likes being rejected. I mean, I was rejected in the womb because, you know, my mum and dad wanted a daughter and I wasn't. They even had a name for me and I don't have it. So in the womb, I felt, you know, I was rejected. None of us likes being rejected. But, you know, it's a double risk here. It's not just them rejecting you that's the risk. There's another risk that's going on here. Because we so fear being rejected by our friends and our family and other people, we may decide not to share the news. We may decide, look, if we share the news, we're going to lose these people. We're going to lose our friendships, lose our family, lose our relationships. So we won't share the news. We fall into fear. But we need to remember what Jesus says. It's not about us. This rejection is not about us. It's him. If you tell someone about Jesus and they go, I'm not interested, it's not you they're rejecting. They're rejecting Jesus. And they're rejecting God the Father who sent him. But let's also remember that besides that rejection, there is blessedness. See, notice how Jesus contrasts the consequences of response. He says, when people see your works and when people hear the good news, the message either leads to happy acceptance or to annoying rejection. But you know what? When people repent, they discover joy. When people reject, they're going to discover the depths of sorrow. And that contrast also applies to us as the disciples called to share Jesus in word and action. And he says, look, don't focus on what you achieve when you share. If even the Spirit submits you, don't get excited about that. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You know, and of course, walking the kingdom way is actually very hard, isn't it? It's really hard. Hard because it calls us to obedience. And prayer. And challenges our pride. Prayer. You may not have noticed it, but the first thing Jesus says is pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest. It's a commandment to pray. The job is far too big for us. We are to ask for help. The trouble is, we often prefer to rushing into action because we can see action. You can do things, you can move things about, you can meet people, you can organise, you've got achievement. Prayer, well, that is just humbling yourself before God and asking God to help. It's total dependence. And you don't know if he's replying necessarily. You don't know when you go out whether you will indeed gather some more harvesters, because it's all about trust. And we have to obey. He commands, doesn't it? Go, don't do this, do that. It's a set of instructions. And that's hard, isn't it? We're not very good when people say, be obedient. We get confused. We don't like others telling us what to do. So we transfer that to Jesus. But Jesus is not a dictator. Jesus is our love. Love leads us to follow. See, obeying Jesus brings us into conflict with our deep desire to do what we want or what our family and friends want or what the world wants. And what Jesus is saying, follow me. Who do you love? Follow me. And then Jesus says, effectively, don't be proud and don't be afraid. The power of the message is not in us. If the people are helped, if the people are healed, if the people receive God's peace, if the people come to Jesus and they are saved, rejoice. but not because the power of the message is in us, but because our name is written in heaven. And if the people reject the message, it's not about us. See, neither acceptance nor rejection depends on us. If the people do not like the message, it's their problem, not ours. It's their rejection of Jesus, not us. So Jesus is implicitly saying to these disciples, do not be afraid to share the message. If they don't want it, they have condemned themselves. Remember what Paul says in the Acts of the Apostles. He goes about with Barnabas, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, saying to them, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And I think someone commented upon Serena Williams losing the tennis final yesterday by saying she really needs to actually get more game time in. She can't just rely upon her history. As training and game time strengthen the sportsman for the upcoming championship, kingdom hardships strengthen disciples. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would lead us through the distractions of the world, through the challenges of our hearts which focus on so much else, that you would enable us to have courage, to walk with commitment, to share the good news regardless, because it's all about you. It's not about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we invite you to sing. I don't know how this is in Baptist prayer.